My guest is poet Sharon Olds. Her second book of poems, The Dead and the Living, won the 1985 National Book Critics Circle Award. In her latest collection, The Gold Cell, many of the poems are about being a daughter, mother, and wife. David Levitt wrote, Sharon Olds is enormously self-aware. Her poetry is remarkable for its candor, its eroticism, and its power to move. Sharon Olds has been published in The Atlantic, The Nation, and The New Republic. She's taught at Brandeis, Columbia, and New York University, where she's now the director of creative writing. Sharon Olds writes poems that sound very confidential, very personal, yet she's reluctant to discuss if they're autobiographical. I asked her to read her poem, I Go Back to May, 1937.
I go back to May, 1937. I see them standing at the formal gates of their colleges. I see my father strolling out under the ochre sandstone arch, the red tiles glinting like bent plates of blood behind his head. I see my mother with a few light books at her hip, standing at the pillar made of tiny bricks, with the wrought iron gate still open behind her, its sword tips black in the May air. They are about to graduate. They are about to get married. They are kids. They are dumb. All they know is they are innocent. They would never hurt anybody. I want to go up to them and say, stop. Don't do it. She's the wrong woman. He's the wrong man. You are going to do things you cannot imagine you would ever do. You are going to do bad things to children. You are going to suffer in ways you never heard of. You are going to want to die. I want to go up to them there in the late May sunlight and say it, her hungry, pretty, blank face turning to me, her pitiful, beautiful, untouched body, his arrogant, handsome face turning to me, his pitiful, beautiful, untouched body. But I don't do it. I want to live. I take them up like the male and female paper dolls and bang them together at the hips like chips of flint as if to strike sparks from them. I say, do what you are going to do, and I will tell about it.
So is that poem about your parents, or do you prefer to think of it as a poem about somebody's parents, just a poem about parents but not necessarily yours?
I don't know why, really, but if one were to be able to need to write poems that happen to seem as if they were by anybody or for anybody, or whose desire to share experience was such that the biographical side of it wasn't so interesting to readers as just the truth of it, or the apparent truth, or just if it felt like anybody, like a real person.
I'm trying to figure out if this poem and the other very personal poems like it are really very personal to you, but you'd rather just not talk about the personal experiences that they came from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Could you talk a little about that desire of yours, about where it comes from or what the meaning of that is? Why want to know as a reader?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. And when I was reading your poems last night and thinking about what we were going to talk about in the interview, I was thinking, well, really, what makes Sharon Olds interesting to me? Do I really care what her parents were like, or do I really care that she writes good poetry? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I really care that she writes good poetry. But then I said, but I'm also interested in the parts of her life that inspired the poems that she writes about, and how those experiences helped her become the poet she is today.
Mm-hmm. I've had a very interesting experience in teaching, in that by the end of a semester, every woman writer asked me questions about privacy. Who to show the work to? Who to stop showing it to? Mm-hmm. What the mother felt about it? What the lover had said? Whether they were having writing block problems because of that? And none of the men. It was like perfect record. Zero, 16 or something, had asked me those questions. And it wasn't that I wasn't close to them. But for the women, it was a very important issue. And I know that among men poets whom I know who have written about family, I say to them, well, what do you say when you're asked about your specific, you know, child or parent? And they say, well, I'm not asked that much.
The last line in the poem is, do what you're going to do, and I will tell about it. Have you found in your life that telling about things, that making poems about things, gives you a certain power? Because finally, no matter what anyone has said or done to you or done in your presence, you have the power to tell it the way you perceive it and to give it its final interpretation, at least in your mind and in the life of that poem.
That's nice. I bet that's a strong unconscious involvement of mine in poetry. It's not very conscious. I mean, what I would perceive more is the pleasure of playing with language, the relief of speaking, the satisfaction of feeling the line turn at the end and come back to the left-hand margin, that kind of dance, that kind of physical dance of the poem. Sure, I bet a lot of it has to do with power. Consciously, no. A poet is not likely to feel powerful. I don't think. It's not as bad a danger for us, but I'm sure that that's a satisfaction of it that I'm usually not conscious of, but that's there.
Can I ask you to read another poem?
Sure.
And this is from an earlier volume of poems called The Dead and the Living, and the poem I'll ask you to read is called New Mother.
Yes. A week after our child was born, you cornered me in the spare room, and we sank down on the bed. You kissed me and kissed me. My milk undid its burning slipknot through my nipples, soaking my shirt. All week I had smelled of milk, fresh milk, sour. I began to throb. My sex had been torn easily as cloth by the crown of her head. I'd been cut with a knife and sewn, the stitches pulling at my skin. And the first time you're broken, you don't know you'll be healed again, better than before. I lay in fear and blood and milk while you kissed and kissed me, your lips hot and swollen as a teenage boy's, your sex dry and big, all of you so tender. You hung over me, over the nest of the stitches, over the splitting and tearing, with the patience of someone who finds a wounded animal in the woods and stays with it, not leaving its side until it is whole, until it can run again.
That's a beautiful poem. Do you remember writing the poem?
No. This is a long time ago now.
So is it like a found poem to you?
Do you not remember it at all? It was. Yeah.
And what did you think about when you read it?
I liked it. I liked the ending. When it came to the wounded animal, I was sort of rewriting there. I thought, oh, that's a little corny. And then when it came to the kissed and kissed, I've been writing so much love poetry. I'd say this poem is maybe 10 years old. I've been writing lots of love poems in the last, 5 years, 2 years, a year. And I was just looking to see how guarded this was, how much it was going to keep itself to, how shy it was.
So how come you're writing a lot of love poems now?
I don't know. What a good question. Part of it, I think, sometimes when people say, how difficult to be a woman poet, I think of all the poems, however, that haven't been written because most of the poets weren't women. So that is poems that are written from, or as if from, personal experience. I mean, it's exciting to an artist to want and need to be writing about something that hasn't already been done a lot. So being a woman is a wonderful thing in that way, and especially with love poetry and erotic poetry, so little of it has been written by women or by men.
You know, there is a song, I think it's an Ira Gershwin lyric, that goes, what can you say in a love song that's never been said before?
Mm.
I think that's the problem, really, that a lot of love poetry is up against, that there's actually been so much of it, in spite of what you're saying.
I think you're right. In any poetry about happiness, we talk about this in class a lot. Why are the poems about grief better poems, mostly?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we write about our joy? And certainly what I see in the progression of my books is many, many more poems of joy.
Okay, thank you so much for talking with us and reading some of your poems.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Terry.
Sharon Old's latest collection of poetry, The Gold Cell, is published by Knopf. This is Fresh Air.